about scripture memory. I first really got turned on, I guess, about scripture memory back in college days, a little over 20 years ago. At the time, we had an incident some of you may not have even heard of called the Pueblo incident, where a North Korean, the North Koreans captured one of our ships. And God just brought home to my mind, I had friends going off to the Vietnam War. There was the issue with that ship captured and our men being held captive by the North Koreans, that the possibility strongly exists that you could be in a place in your lifetime where the only access that you will have to my word is what you have put in your heart and in your mind. And so I decided at that time that I really needed to hide God's word in my heart, and I started a program of scripture memory with some fairly high accountability. But what happened is I didn't have some checkpoints in my life that you need to have in your life to be successful in long-term scripture memory. And so after a couple of years of working real hard at scripture memory, I noticed that I was losing verses just as fast as I was memorizing them. I didn't have any accountability in my life. I didn't have anybody encouraging me in scripture memory. And so scripture memory became kind of hit and miss in my life. I still had a heart for it. I still had a desire to do it. But I just didn't have a good methodology that let me nail it down and get it done. And about 6 years ago, my life came in contact with a man that I had known for some time, John Repass. And as I was around John, I noticed that he knew large amounts of scripture and that he successfully retained what he had already learned. So I asked him if he would share with me how he memorizes scripture. And he started me on what I believe will be a lifetime project in my life. That's the commitment I've made of hiding God's word in my heart. But more than that, he shared with me a methodology that made hiding God's word in my heart a lifetime possibility. Because he showed me how I could not only learn new verses, but keep up with the ones that I already know. And I'll always be grateful for the time he invested in me and got me grounded in this. You know, it's interesting, you see on your sheet there, that the average American by age 18 spends almost 18,000 hours in front of the TV. That means by age 65, 9.5 years of the life of the average American, 15% of their life is spent in front of the TV. Now, to put this into perspective, if you were to study your Bible weekly for 1 hour from birth to age 65, you would only spend 4 months in Bible study. Or if you studied your Bible daily for 1 hour, from birth to age 65, you would only spend 2.7 years in Bible study. And when you look at this, you begin to realize how much our minds and our hearts and our lives are saturated with inputs from our society and how little control sometimes we exercise over them. Let's just assume, for example, that the average Christian does 15 times better than the average American in guarding their mind against the input of just the TV. They're still spending more time in front of the TV than they are in a serious study of God's Word. And you see, what we put into our heart comes out in our attitudes and sooner or later comes out in our life and our actions. Bob Seifert wrote, "What we let into our minds will eventually determine what we say and what we do." Dawson Trotman wrote that predominant thought determines present action. The book of Proverbs says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs or the issues of life." That's Proverbs 4:23. And so it doesn't matter where you go, the record of the Word of God and the record of men who have lived their lives based on the Word of God shows us that what our life eventually becomes depends on the inputs that we're putting into our life. Southern Baptist came out with a little booklet called Survival Kit 2. It's designed after a new Christian's grounded in faith to take them the next step forward. One of the things that I picked up that really helped me in the study of that book was just this. Either you choose to choose your values, or your values will become yours by default. In other words, if you don't choose to choose your values, if you don't choose to choose the inputs into your mind, if you don't choose to govern what does not go into your mind, sooner or later, what your value system is will be determined by the exposures of the society around you. And one of the reasons that scripture memory is so absolutely important in our life is because it is the greatest guard that we have against the wrong, negative, ungodly inputs of the society that we must walk in and live in every day. I find it hard to believe that if a person does not commit their life to scripture memory that they'll ever be able to guard their mind effectively against the society that we live in. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, you find this same principle iterated. And in verses 5 and 6, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the word which I am commanding you shall be on your heart. So you see, God made it very clear, and we can go to numerous other verses, that He wants His word to be at the forefront of our minds and our thoughts. Now, I think there is a greater principle than just scripture memory, and the principle is that's laid down in these verses. It is the idea that we are to continually saturate our life with the truth of God's Word. Have you ever saturated a sponge with water? Have you ever seen these little sponges? They're compressed, and they're dry, and they're hard, but when you drop them into water, they'll explode up into some big shape. I used to love, as a kid, to take those things and to take a straw or something and to drop water on them a little bit at a time. And as you drop water on it, you'd see that where the water hit, that sponge began to swell, but there were still big, dry areas where it was just compressed and tight and hard. But as you would drip more and more water into that sponge, that wet swell spot would begin to penetrate those dry, hard areas. And the more water you drift into that little hard sponge, the more soft and the larger it became. And if you kept dripping water long enough, there came a time when that sponge didn't hold any more water. When you dripped some water on, there was some water that oozed out because it was at saturation point. If you touched it, water ran out. If you squeezed it, water ran out. You see, that's kind of the principle that God wants to communicate to us through Scripture, that we are to saturate our life with His Word. And it happens just in the same way. When you first start saturating your life with God's Word, you may be dry and hard, and there are a lot of things in your life that shouldn't be there. But when you start dripping God's Word into your life, where God's Word hits your life, if there is the intent to obey, God's Word begins to swell your life with His love and with His presence, and you become soft and pliable. And the longer you drip God's Word into your life, the more you ooze God's Word out of your life, and you will reach a point someday where when something jostles you in life, what comes out is not the hard actions of the human heart, but what comes out are the actions of Jesus Christ, because you have so saturated your life with His mindset. You see, one of my friends defined saturating your life with God's Word this way. It means that by consistent daily intake of God's Word, it works itself, its teachings, its habits of thought, its presentation of God in Christ into every part of my being. And so that's one of the goals of Scripture memory, is to help along this process of becoming so saturated with God's Word that you ooze the response of Jesus Christ no matter what jostles against you in life. So that those hard, cold, tough, crusty areas of your life begin to become soft and pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit, so that God can do whatever He wants to do with your life. Now, you should be familiar with the hand illustration, the five ways that God has given us of getting His Word into our life: hearing it, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and meditating on it. I drew it a little different way on your sheet because I wanted you to see that the common denominator in getting God's Word effectively into your life is the word meditation. And you see, meditation works with hearing, meditation works with reading, meditation works with studying, meditation works with memorizing. Meditation is the key to moving God's truth into the way you live so that it comes out in your lifestyle. And you can't separate Scripture memory from meditation. Years ago, when I first started memorizing Scripture, I made this mistake because I was stuffing it into my mind, but it was not having the impact it should in my heart, because I was approaching it academically rather than with the issue of letting it change my life and with being totally obedient to it. And one of the things John helped me see in Scripture memory is that Scripture memory is not just an exercise of filling your mind up, but it also requires thinking about it and being obedient to the response of the Holy Spirit, so that it comes out in your attitudes and in your actions throughout your life. Lauren Sanney wrote that Scripture memory puts the Word in our hearts, food in our minds, a light on our path, a weapon in our hand, and a tool in the other. Now, can you think of anything that does so much for so little time invested? Why memorize Scripture? Why not just hear it? Why not just read it? And why not just study it? I mean, if there are other ways of getting God's Word into your life, why is it important to memorize Scripture? Well, I think as you go through Scripture, you can find a number of reasons. We're going to move through these somewhat quickly because I want to leave some time for questions at the end. But I really believe that if you want to set down a commitment to Scripture memory in your life, then you need to go to God's Word and find out why God says that it is important to memorize Scripture. And the first reason is simply because God commands it. In Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 20, the Lord said, "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So you see, God intends, doesn't He, that we know His Word. Now, you know, there's only one way where we have 100% knowledge of something we've been exposed to, and that's through memory. I forget part of what I hear, I forget part of what I read, I forget part of what I study. But if I review, I remember all of what I memorize. And God commanded me to saturate my life with His Word. The second reason, and there's some other reasons given there, Colossians 3:16, to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, Proverbs 7:1-3. But the second reason then is to develop a heart for God and a love for His Word. To develop a heart for God and a love for His Word. You see, the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 6:4-6, which you, if you read it, we just quoted that a while ago, is very close to Deuteronomy 11:18-20. God said basically that what comes into our life, we develop an appetite for. Have you ever noticed that when you do something long enough, you develop an appetite for it? I remember I drank coffee only in the winter, only when it was cold, only when something hot felt good on my throat. And over the years, I would drink coffee in the summer, as soon as it got a little warm, that's it. No more coffee till next year. Somewhere along the way, though, I discovered that I was liking coffee and I was drinking it further and further into the summer. And I reached a point where I really enjoyed the taste of coffee. And I found when I ate a meal or something like that, I just liked having a cup of hot coffee, even in the middle of summer. You see, I developed an appetite for something that I didn't originally like a whole lot at all. Now, that is true in the spiritual realm. That is true in the realm of your thought patterns. That's true in the realm of your heart. Whatever you continually expose yourself to, sooner or later you will begin to develop an appetite for it. I used to read these verses in Psalms where the psalmist said, "My heart pants for Thee, O Lord, like the deer pants for water," and scriptures like that, and I thought, man, I don't have a hunger for God like that. I don't have a hunger for God's Word like that. I would hear people get up and talk about spending time in God's Word and spending time in prayer and hunger to know the Scripture better. I didn't have a heart like that, and I thought, man, you know, Lord, if I had a heart like that, then I'd be like that. You know, if You'd give me that heart, Lord, then I'd act that way. And one day I discovered the simple truth that it is my responsibility to develop that hunger by what I expose myself to. And I found when I started cutting some of the other inputs in my life, the kind of TV shows, the kind of music, the kind of reading that you do, and you start opening your life up to the things of God and His kind of music and His kind of reading and His things, it doesn't happen real fast, but you begin to see the focus of interest in your life shift so that you love the things of the Lord. When I started memorizing Scripture, Scripture memory was a discipline. It was hard. There were days I had to make myself do it. I find it's a common occurrence now. You know, I'll hear someone preach, or I'll be studying for a Sunday school lesson, or I'll be at a conference like this, and somebody will share a Scripture, and I'll think, man, I want to know that one. And I find that Scripture memory has become easier and easier as the years go by because there is a hunger to know that didn't exist in my life 6 years ago. So God wants us to develop a heart for Him and a love for His Word, and Scripture memory will do that for you. Number three, it is God's way to spiritual success and prosperity. Leroy did an excellent job last night, didn't he, dealing with Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. Now, I don't have this book with me day and night. You see, if I don't memorize Scripture, there's no way I can meditate on his word day and night. But he meditates on his word day and night, and it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And you see, Scripture memory promises God's success and God's prosperity in your life. Number four, Scripture memory helps you gain victory over the sin and over the devil. The Bible says in Psalms 119:9-11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I treasured in my heart. Why? That I may not sin against thee. That's right. And you see why it's important up here to develop a heart for God and love for his word? Because that's where you get the answer then down in Psalms 19. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from my commandments. You see, as you seek God, you develop the heart to do things his way. If you'll remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when the devil confronted Jesus after 40 days of fasting three times, all three times, how did Jesus answer Satan? With Scripture. And interestingly enough, after the first two, how did Satan try to counter Jesus the third time?
With Scripture,
except Satan took Scripture out of context, didn't he? And Jesus took that Scripture because he knew the word and he put it back in context. In essence, he let the devil eat his own words, didn't he? Now, my question to you is this. If the Master, the Lord of creation, the one that gave us this book, found it necessary to use this book to confront Satan and find victory, is it foolish for me to run around without God's word hidden in my heart and try to deal with the devil on the basis of human strength? You see, of course it is, except we do it all the time, don't we? Number five, and by the way, it says the word is the sword of the Spirit, doesn't it? And you see, Scripture memory takes the sword out of the sheath and puts it in your hand, where you've got it as a weapon. Number five, Scripture memory helps you develop purity of life. You ever struggle with wrong thoughts? You ever struggle with wrong attitudes? Sure. What do you do to fight those? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Now, if I'm going to think on those things, where am I going to find those things? Well, I find those things in the Word of God. But how am I going to think on them if I don't know them? See, the Bible's not always readily available to me when I'm in a jam, when I'm exposed to temptation, when I'm fighting a wrong attitude, unless I've taken the time to hide it in my mind. So you see, purity of life comes out of exposure to the Word of God. Number six, the Word of God assists you in behavioral modification. The Word of God assists you in behavioral modification. Psalms 101:3-4 says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip upon me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will know no evil. And you know, one of the times when I was struggling in my life with changing a standard, God used that verse to help me change that standard. I stuck it in my verse pack and I left it there, not for my normal review period, but I left it there until the behavior changed. Because God's Word is a check on wrong behavior. And God's Word can be used by the Lord to help us in behavioral modification. Number seven, God's Word equips you for personal witnessing. God's Word equips you for personal witnessing. You remember over in Acts 8, verses 34 and 35, where the Lord had sent Philip out into the desert to attach himself to the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch who was the treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And he walked up to him, and the Ethiopian was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless some man tells me? And Philip said that Philip, beginning at that point, did what? preached Jesus to him. He showed him the way, starting in Isaiah. Let me ask you this. If somebody came to you from virtually any place in the Bible and said, I don't understand this, could you start wherever their question was and show them the way to the Savior? If you look over in Luke 24:27, that's exactly what Jesus did to the disciples. He went back and took them through the Old Testament. And if you look in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So you see, if you want to be able to equip to deal with people's questions about the Bible, what do you have to do? Well, you've got to know it like the back of your hand. Is there any more effective way of knowing God's Word than to get it memorized in your heart? You know, one of the first goals I set in Scripture memory was to make sure I knew some verses from every book in the Bible. Because, you see, I felt like if I knew some verses from every book in the Bible, then I would have a better chance of being able to take anybody, anywhere they were at, and move them towards the truth that God would have them know in their life about Jesus Christ. Number 8, Scripture memory helps you know and do God's will. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or one translation says thoroughly equipped for all good works. Psalms 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:133 says, Establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, Lauren Sandy said, Scripture memory gets the word where you need it, when you need it. And you see, if you really want to walk in God's will on a day-by-day basis, is there any better way to walk in God's will than by literally saturating your life, totally absorbing it in the Word of God, and letting the Word of God begin to work its thoughts, its actions, its habits, and its presentation of God and His Christ into the very depths of your life? You see, the best way to know that you're doing the will of God is to think like God. Right? And the best way to think like God is to get His Word so in your heart that it's almost always in your mind. The reason so many Christians don't is because they don't hide God's Word in their heart. See, some of the wisest men I know are men that have made a habit of reading through the book of Proverbs one chapter a day, every day of their life. Because it's the Christian businessman's book. But then you go a step further than that and you begin to memorize these Proverbs. You begin to put them into your mind. And then when God needs to give you direction, what can He do? He can call forth what's already there. Number 9, Scripture memory is good for helping yourself and others. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Have you ever had somebody come to you for help? Have you ever been struggling with a problem in your own life and trying to discern how you should respond and what you should do? And as you struggle with that problem, you found out that you had trouble even getting in touch with your real motives? It's common, isn't it? Well, the Bible says that it will cut to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. You see, I don't want to even attempt to counsel somebody without the Word of God because I'll probably be off base in what I tell them. But if I can take them to God's truth, then through the Holy Spirit, God can use His truth to cut right to the core of the issue in their life. Now, I may never find out what that issue is. And I may never know what God really said to them in the heart, but if I can take them to the truth, the Holy Spirit can give them the truth they need to deal with the situation in their life. And if He can do that with them, He can do that with me. Psalms 139, 23, and 24, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Isn't that a beautiful verse? So you see, Scripture memory helps you help yourself and other people. Number 10, Scripture memory builds your faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And when you take Scripture memory as a lifetime project, you're putting the Word of Christ in your heart. You're putting the thing that builds faith in your life. It's like building a reservoir. I'll never forget the first time somebody challenged me to read through God's Word in a year. I read through God's Word, and most of that year I wasn't quite sure what was happening. And, you know, I got to all those long sections that seemed kind of dull and boring, and I just kind of plugged it out because I made a commitment to do it. But, you know, somewhere along the way, my faith grew that year. Because I'd already always been very insecure about my job and about finances and about God's ability to take care of my life. At the time, I was working as an engineer with AT&T. And somewhere along the way, I realized that I really believed that God was able to take care of my life. I've never identified anything in my life that created that seed of confidence and faith other than the continual exposure to God's Word. And that was important because about 10 years later, God asked me to walk off that job and walk into Christian ministry full time. But you see, He had built the faith into my life to make that kind of step. And the thing is I found that although that daily reading built my faith, nothing has built my faith like memorizing the Word of God. You see, you get discouraged, you run up against doubts, you run up against circumstances you don't know how to handle. And the Word within you points you to the God who is greater than any obstacle that you face in this world. Scripture memory builds your faith. Number 11, Scripture memory is good for encouraging yourself and others. You know, in 1 Samuel 36, David had come back. His town had been raided. All the women and children had been carried away. His men turned against him. They were talking about killing him. Everything had gone from bad to worse. And David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. One translation says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And you see, Scripture memory will help you find encouragement and strength in times of discouragement and despair. Because you see, doubt and the Word of God, faith and despair don't coexist. Either we will push God out and focus on our problems, or God will push our focus off our problems and we'll see His adequacy. And there's no stronger way to get encouragement than to know God's Word so that in those tough, hard times of life, God can use it to point you to His sufficiency. Number 12, and I've just realized this within the last year. As I mentioned, I've been going hard after Scripture memory the second time around for 6 years. With a lifetime commitment to do it and a system of review to keep it. And you know what I found in the last year is I have a grasp of God's Word that's different than any I ever had before. God has exposed me in my lifetime to some great men of God. And one of the things that has always been so remarkable to me about those men is you go to them for advice or counsel, or you just get in a talk and question session with them, just get to talking about things. It just seems like they're always telling you something that God says or pointing you to God's way, and you get to thinking, man, how can they know all this stuff? Well, think I know how they know it now, because you see, these are men that have paid the price, some of them for 20, some of them for 30 years, to hide God's Word in their heart. And they're like that saturated sponge, you know, when you talk to them and you bump against them, guess what comes out? God's Word. Well, you see, after 6 years of Scripture memory, I've just begun to see that. I began to see that I understand the whole of the Bible better than I ever have before. I found that when I'm reading in one area of the Bible, things come to my mind from other areas that relate to it. I find that when I find New Testament truth, I know where to go to find Old Testament illustration of that truth and how God lived it out in the life of His people. And there is nothing that will let you get a comprehensive grip on God's Word like Scripture memory will. Now, you have to commit for a long haul to obtain that benefit. It won't happen in a year. And it won't happen in 2 years, but somewhere along the way, you'll find yourself gaining a comprehensive grip on God's Word different than any that you ever had before. Number 13, Scripture enables the Holy Spirit to speak to us. The Bible says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things," catch this last sentence, "and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." John 14:26. And so you see, God has said that through the Holy Spirit, if you pay the price to put it in, I'll pull it out when I need it. I find that the more I know of God's Word, the more I have what I need when I need it, because it's there for the Holy Spirit to pull out. One writer said that Scripture memory gives the Holy Spirit a vocabulary. You know, I found that as you memorize Scripture, the things of God begin to come out of your mouth. Number 14, to grow in the faith. When Scripture memory builds your faith, we said, in what God can do, but it also helps you grow in the faith, becoming the person that God created you to be. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, what? That you may grow thereby. And then you go to other scriptures and it talks about moving from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. And as you internalize God's Word in your life, that process begins to happen. Number 15, Scripture memory is a source of joy and peace. Years ago, I ran across Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, I don't know any other way to eat God's Word other than to stoke them into the mind, memorize them, meditate on them. And they become a joy, a delight in your heart. They give you joy. They bring peace. Number 16, Scripture memory is useful in teaching, preaching, and speaking. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, in the last part of that verse, for the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. You see, as you fill your life up with Scripture memory, it doesn't matter whether you're preaching, it doesn't matter whether you're teaching, or it doesn't matter whether you're sitting down one-on-one giving instruction or counsel to another person, when you have internalized God's Word in your heart, the Holy Spirit begins to bring it back out. The last time I preached, and I don't preach too often, I usually teach, I'm not a preacher, but I love to teach. But the last time I preached on Sunday school. You know, I'm the education director here, so I preached on Sunday school. This lady came up to me 2 weeks later, and she said, I just want to tell you how much your message meant to me. Well, I was kind of curious, so I said, well, what was it that meant so much to you? And, you know, I was figuring she learned some great truth about Sunday school, and so she told me, well, you know this verse you shared? And she told me the verse and told me what it meant to her. Hey, folks, I don't even remember that being in the sermon. And it certainly had nothing to do with what I preached on. And the only thing I can say is that somewhere along the way in the sermon, the Holy Spirit called that verse out because that lady needed to hear it. And apparently it fit into whatever I was saying. You know, but it kind of humbled you too, because you realize real quickly there that it's not your eloquence, it's the power of the Spirit of God that communicates. But you see, that's the value of Scripture memory. You see, one of the reasons that when I teach, I like to put lots of Scripture in what I teach is because I don't have anything to say. But God does. You know, if you walk out of here with my opinion, that in 2 cents won't buy you a cup of coffee. But if you walk out of here with God's truth in your heart, you walk out of here with something that will not only stand you through this life, but the Bible says that the Word of God lasts forever. And so if I'm going to give people something, I want to give them something worth carrying out. Then, one other thing that I want to give you, that is not on here, but I mentioned it in my testimony earlier. Put on your sheet number 17, because someday it may be the only access you have to God's Word. Because someday it may be the only access you have to God's Word. In Amos 8:11, the Lord said, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. And you know, I live in fear that someday the only Bible I have is the Bible that I've memorized. We don't know where this world is going. We don't know what it's coming to. We don't know where God's going to call us. We don't know how God is going to use us. But it seems to me that a wise believer would put all of God's Word he could in his heart and in his mind so that he'd have it with him no matter what he faced in life. Now then, I want to switch from why. Now, honestly, that's a lot of stuff. I realize that. But you know, if I don't convince you from God's Word that Scripture memory is life or death, that Scripture memory is so important that you cannot afford not to do it? You'll go out of here and say it's a little bit too hard. You'll go out of here and try it and you'll get bored, you'll get tired, you'll quit, you'll get discouraged. You see, you've got to let God burn it into your heart from His Word that the issue of Scripture memory is life or death if you want to be effectively used as a man or a woman of God. And I hope I didn't share every verse on the handout with you. I hope you'll look those up yourself. And I hope you go back through these reasons and think about them and meditate on them and let the Holy Spirit convince you that it is critical to your success in being the person that God wants you to be for you to memorize Scripture. Now, how do you start a Scripture memory plan? I think there are four things before you even get into the how of memorizing Scripture, four key things that you need to ensure success in Scripture memory. The first thing is this: commit to a lifetime investment in Scripture memory. Now, you notice the word investment. What is an investment? What is an investment? Nobody knows, huh? Okay, investment, it's something you put into so you can draw. If it's good investment, it's going to grow in value. It's going to grow in worth, right? And you see, sometimes we look at Scripture memory as committing to the lifetime task or chore or job or habit or burden of Scripture memory. It's not any of those. It's an investment. That's what we just went through these 17 things for. It is going to be used so powerfully in God. There is nothing that I have done in my life that has paid richer or more visible dividends than Scripture memory. Nothing. And so when you commit to Scripture memory, you're committing to an investment. But let me challenge you. Commit to a lifetime investment. John was the first man that challenged me to approach Scripture memory from this viewpoint. And I'll be honest, it scared me to death on the front end. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, two verses a week, and if I live to be 75 and I'm 40, let's see, I'm 40 now. Man, you know, I mean, it looks, and the younger you are, the bigger that hill looks, right? But you see, Jesus also taught us the principle of living one day at a time. So I committed to a lifetime investment of Scripture memory. That's the commitment I made to the Lord, that I want to memorize Scripture the rest of my life. And I'm going to do it a day at a time. See, I'm not going to worry about 10 years from now. I got to do it today. And when tomorrow comes, I got to do it tomorrow. And if I can't take care of the todays faithfully, the tomorrows will take care of themselves. Are you aware of that? So, on the one hand, I want you to look out, commit to a lifetime. But on the other hand, I want you to look current. You live that out a day at a time. And why do a lifetime? Well, you know, there's only two things that are going to last forever that I can find in God's Word: men's souls and His Word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. So you see, if I commit to a lifetime investment in Scripture memory, I'm committing to something that I'm going to carry with me into eternity. And you know, there aren't very many things that I can put my time and my effort into in this world that are going to carry with me into eternity, are there? But Scripture memory is one of those things. Number two, get a Scripture memory partner to establish accountability. I don't think very many people, if any, will make it on the long haul in Scripture memory if you don't have a partner that demands some accountability out of you. I'll tell you, the first year that I started the program I'm on now, I had somebody every week that checked to see if I had the new verses and checked to see if I could say the old verses every week. And I'm thankful for that accountability, because I needed that accountability while I was developing some habit patterns. But you know, I found in the past 6 years, the only times I get waffly on my Scripture memory are the times when there's nobody that I meet with at a set time each week where I'm going to pull it out the pack, lay it out, and say, okay, this is what I learned this week. And if you're serious about Scripture memory, you need accountability. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for the labor. For if either of them falls, the one will pick up his brother. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to pick him up. Now, I think Scripture memory is important enough to have somebody to pick me up if I fall. In fact, I have two or three people in my life now that I know from time to time are going to ask me, what's your new verse? Even apart from the person I review scripture verses with. Because that accountability keeps you on the toes. Number three, begin with a scripture memory plan. I found in working with men that if you start out trying to develop the habit patterns of scripture memory that will guarantee you lifetime success, and you're also trying to decide what verses to memorize at the same time, that it overwhelms a lot of people. I would highly recommend this. It's as good as anything you can find. It's the Navigator's Topical Memory System, 60 verses. If you memorize two verses a week, that'll take you 30 weeks. That's long enough to begin to lay down some good habit patterns. And the advantage of this is that you know every week what verses you're going to learn the next week. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wonder about it. You just have to learn them. Plus, it's got a little book in it that gives you some good helps in meditating on the Word and working the truth of these verses into your life. It also gives you some good helps on scripture memory. Now, there are other plans out there, but I think this is as good as any. It's where I started. I learned these 60 verses first when I started back up on my scripture memory plan. But I think you'll be more successful if you'll start with a plan that tells you where you're going. Number two, remember that your goal is to develop a lifestyle. Your goal is to develop a lifestyle. It's not just to get the topical memory system done. It's just not to get 60 verses down. It's not to satisfy your partner's accountability requirement each week. It's to change your life. It's to develop a new way of living so that the memory of God's Word becomes a part of every day. Number four, set an attainable goal. You know, there's some people that come out of the chute like racehorses, and they run hard for 100 yards, and then they pull up, breathe hard, take a breath, and never get going again. You know, with scripture memory, we're talking about a lifetime. Now, I recommend starting with two verses a week, but it'd be better to start with one verse a week and go for 60 weeks, getting those first 60 down, and have a pattern established in your life that you can carry on through a lifetime, than it would be to come out of the blocks and learn 12 verses the first week and 10 the next and 8 the next and 6 the next and quit the next. You see, work for a pattern. Now, those four commitments will set a foundation. You know, Jesus said that any man, when he starts a project and doesn't sit down and count the cost before he starts, whether or not he has enough to finish, is what? Foolish. Now, I just want to tell you up front, there is a cost associated with scripture memory. Set a good foundation. Plan a good beginning is what Leroy Iams says in his book, Be the Leader You Were Meant to Be. Now then, let's talk about how do you memorize a verse when you want to memorize a scripture verse. The first thing when you take one of the verses, and remember, if you start with a topical memory system, you know what your first 60 verses are going to be. You don't have to decide. That's one of the advantages. But you start by reading the verse in context. So let's just assume I picked this verse for an example, Philippians 4:13. Read the verse in context of the scripture. You see, sometimes if you just grab a verse and memorize it, you won't catch the full impact or meaning of that verse unless you've read the ones before it and the ones after it and understand the setting in which that verse was written. Second thing that I like to do is write the verse out on a verse card. And you've all seen the, I hope, if not, they've got them out on the book table. With the little verse packs like this, with the little small cards, this is the handiest way that I've found to do scripture memory is using these little verse cards. And you'll see on your handout there, I've showed that you write the verse out on one side and the reference and the date that you memorized it on the other side. Now the numbers on your handout there, A, B, C, D, show you that you flip the card this way, not this way. Now, when you begin to use your review pack and review verses, you'll find out that it's handier to flip the cards this way as you're doing your review than it is to this way. It's a preference thing. I mean, there's nothing sacred, but I think you'll find that the pack is much more convenient to use if you turn the card top to bottom when you make the verse. Number three, set a goal that you're going to aim for word-perfect memorization. You're going to get every word perfect. Now, you do that before you start to memorize the verse. Otherwise, you'll let yourself be sloppy about it. And you see, if you start letting yourself be sloppy, then where does the sloppy stop? You see, God's Word is worthy of excellence, isn't it? Number four, when you begin to memorize the verse, break the verse into natural phrases. Learn the reference in the first phrase, the reference, the first and second, and so on until you know the entire verse, word perfect. Now, I've got an unusual mind. It remembers numbers real good. And I don't have much trouble with the references, but I still find that the reference gives give away from me quicker than the words, even though I memorize numbers easy. So if I was trying to learn this verse, I would say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. Get that? Reference, verse, reference. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. When I'm sure that I have that word perfect, then I'm going to add the second phrase to that, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it's Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. Now I'm going to work one phrase at a time like that until I know that verse. Now that seems simplified on this, doesn't it? But when you memorize a verse like, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and you shall write them, they shall be as a frontal on your forehead, and you shall teach them to your sons, talking to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then you'll understand why you learn it a phrase at a time. See, I learned that verse by taking, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. And then I added, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And then I added, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And then I added, and you shall teach them to your sons. And then talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road. And then, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And then, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, the phrases that I use to memorize that verse are really still how I quote it. And you'll find that by breaking the verse into phrases like that, the phrases give you a cadence and a rhythm that help you in the recall of that verse. So, although some verses can be memorized as a whole, you need to learn that technique of reference, phrase, reference, until you can say reference, verse, reference, and ultimately till you can say reference, multiple verses, and reference. Now then, immediately after memorizing the verse, it is important to seat it in your mind. One of the reasons a lot of us have trouble with scripture memory is because we memorize a verse, and once we got it down, we go do something else, we come back tomorrow, and we can't say it again. And then we get frustrated. Did that ever happen to you? If you want to seat a verse in your mind, out loud, quote the verse, reference, verse, reference, 30 times. That sounds ridiculous. It sounds hard, doesn't it? I remember some verses that I remember going down the road in my car, going, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13, 1. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13, 2. Now, somebody probably thought Nagy was driving by. You'll see my fingers going up? No. And he's learning to count. But seriously, that really seats it in your mind. And I'll tell you what will happen. If you really know the verse, you'll be able to quote it 30 times. If you don't really know the verse, about the fifth or sixth time, you're finding you're saying, now was that which strengthens or which strengtheneth? And so you have to peek at the card and see, oh, it was strengtheneth me. You see? But that 30 times helps you achieve your goal of being able to say it word perfect. Then, number six, pray the verse into your life. Remember, the goal is to let God change your life. One of the men leading conference here, Jerry Fine, taught me this principle. You see, I have a kind of an academic mindset. And for years, I memorized verses, but I did not pray verses into my life. Prayer moves the verse from your head to your heart, and the heart is where the verse has to lodge if it's going to change your life. And so, you need to take that verse, you need to get a picture of what's in that verse,
You need to see how that verse applies to your life, and then you need to turn it into a prayer to the Lord and ask God to begin to change your life through the engrafted Word of God. Now let me stop right there for a minute. Do you have any questions that you want to ask me at that stage on how you memorize a verse? Now this is the core of the system. You're going to do this, hopefully, twice a week for the rest of your life. Or more if you want to. Yes?
You need to stick with one translation, though, otherwise you start getting it all mixed together.
That's right. In fact, we're going to cover that in a little while on some hints on staying with one translation. But that is a good point. That can be very helpful. Okay? Any questions? Other questions? Comments? Okay, number two, how to remember your verses. How to remember your verses. Now then, the key to remembering is to review. The key to remembering is to review. The key to remembering is to review. What did I just say?
The key to remembering is
to review. Aha! You caught on! That's great! But seriously, you see, the reason 20 years ago that I got frustrated and quit on scripture memory was because I was forgetting. But the reason I was forgetting was because I didn't have a review system. You see, the things that I remember in my life are the things that I review. How does something become a habit in your life? Jerry Bridges says that habits are the thought and emotional processes engraved on our brain. How does something become a habit in your life? Repetition. How do you keep scripture memory verses fresh in your life?
Repetition.
I mean, this is where some of what some people would consider the drudgery of scripture memory comes in. It's just reviewing them, reviewing them, reviewing them. But let me say this to you. It only becomes drudgery if you fail to personalize them. Remember I said that the goal is to pray the verse into your life so that it moves from your head to your heart so it comes engrafted in your attitude and actions? And if you want to keep review fresh, then keep prayer as a part of the review. You see, review is only drudgery if you allow it to become drudgery because you quit meditating on the Word. That's why I said at the start of the conference that meditation is absolutely a key link in Scripture memory. Now, what I do is I review each verse daily for 60 days. And the way I do that is on the bottom of the card, on the reference side, I write down the date that I memorized the verse, and then I go out and write the date 2 months later. Real simple. So if I memorize this verse on 11-2, then I'll review it every day until January 2nd. And what I do in my verse pack, I keep my verse pack divided into three sections. On this side, I put back review, verses that have already been through the 60-day review. On this side, I put new verses that I've learned, and I'm in the process of reviewing them every day for 60 days. And in the cover here, I put new verses that are in the process of being learned. So every day as a part of my review, I'm going to go through each of these stacks. I'm going to work on new, I'm going to review my most current verses, and I'm going to back review older verses. Now then, why do you review it for 60 days? I'll be honest. For years, I was told to review a verse for 60 days, and I don't have to review a verse 60 days to remember it. I just have to tell you, my memory clamps on to things fairly quickly. I've got good short-term memory. And I resisted that. Well, when I went to John and asked him to teach me to do scripture memory, he said 60 days. I started to argue with him, and I thought, no, you're the one that asked for help. You ought to do it his way while he's helping you. But what I found out over a period of 6 months was that the 60-day review has turned out, at least in my life, to be 30 days for the head and 30 days for the heart. You see, the first 30 days that I'm reviewing a new verse, it's getting seated in my mind where I won't forget it. But the second 60 days, the verse becomes almost routine. I mean, I can just, spit it out. But that's the 60 days when I begin to concentrate more on what the verse is saying because I'm not having to concentrate on remembering. And in that second 60 days is when I begin to see God work the truth of the verse out in my life. And so now I'm committed to the 60-day review, not because it seems necessary for me to remember it, but because it seems necessary for God to use it. And that's the goal of Scripture memory, isn't it? And one of the things I do is I use a check card for accountability. You see this little card right here? It's a blank card that I stick in front of my current review. And I use up the four sides of it, and I just go along here and put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's the days of the month. And when I do the review for today, which is what, November the 2nd, I will mark out the two. And then when I look at this card, now you know what this does for me, and I found it's really helpful. Sometimes I get swamped, and I'll miss a day, or miss 2 days, even after 6 years, not really realize I've missed them. But when I look at this pack, I have to face the fact that I didn't get it done. And I make myself make up every day I miss. That way there's an accountability there for me. Now, you may not have to do that, but I found that knowing that I'm going to have to go through these cards 60 times keeps me on my toes every day, because if I slide off for 3 or 4 days, I've got to make up those 3 or 4 days. So I do a serious 60-day review. Then, after 60 days, I place the verse in an ongoing back review system. Now, I've made a back review system here, and you can look at this closer after the conference if you'd like to. Used to, you could get these nice little wooden boxes that held your verse cards. And I don't know where to get these nice little boxes anymore. They apparently are out of print or out of manufacture. But I found you can take two business card boxes, just standard business card boxes, which are common and easy to get hold of. You can take the bottom from the second one and cut a little filler like this. And you get a little file slot here, just the right size for your scripture memory cards. Then take one of the scripture memory cards as a pattern and cut it with a little tab on the top. And make 6 of those. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then as you take cards out of your 60-day review, I file them behind these daily stacks. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, in my system, I file them in the same order they appear in the Bible. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is because one of my long-term goals is to memorize some chapters and hopefully ultimately some books in the Bible. And I like having all those cards together when I review them. Some people take these and they just put them in here anywhere and just keep the stacks about the same size. Now, every morning when I get up, the first part of my day, I get out my verse pack when I'm putting my bill phone in my pocket and getting my car keys and my change purse. I keep all this stuff together. I pick up my verse pack. Tomorrow is Sunday. I pull out the Friday stack. Now, Saturday, I don't have a review. Saturday is catch-up day in case I get behind. So, see, I have a back review for 6 days, and I have a 7th day for catch-up and to work on new verses. But I'll take out the previous day's cards, and I'll pick up the Sunday stack, and I'll put it in my verse pack. When I leave my house then on Sunday morning, I have my Sunday back review, my current back review, and my new verses I'm learning. When I get up Monday morning, I'll take the Sunday stack, put it back in the box, and I'll pull out the Monday stack. Now, this is a great system because it will grow and fit you. You'll find out if you'll start out with a 6-day back review system, you can memorize Scripture for 3 or 4 years, and your back review grows so gradually with you that you hardly even notice the stacks are getting bigger. But if you reach a point someday where you really got more cards than you can handle, you can go to a 2-week back review system. You make Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday 2, Monday 2, Wednesday 2, Tuesday, Wednesday 2, Thursday 2, and Friday 2. And you've got your cards divided into 12 stacks. Now the disadvantage of that is if you go to 2 weeks, then you only review your verses every other week, and it's harder to keep them fresh. But you see, the back review system will adapt to your life, to your schedule, and to the number of verses you know. This system is the system that made Scripture memory come back alive for me. Because if I paid the price to learn it, I found that the price to keep it is a very, very small
price. Now let me stop there for just a minute and ask you, do you have any questions on how to set up a back review system or how to back review? In fact, since there's not too many in here, let me just pass this around the room and you can get a close-up look at how that back review system is set up. Okay, let's look at number five then, answers to excuses. Now, you always hear, and we could make a longer list than this, but I tried to focus in on four key excuses that I've run into as I work with people and as I've challenged people to do scripture memory. The first one is, I can't memorize. Well, doesn't matter whether you can or not. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God wants you to do it, you can do it. Now, did God or did God not say to memorize Scripture? He did. Did God say you can do all things through Christ? It's real interesting. I have a friend that I've known since fifth grade. And I started taking Jim through some discipleship training not too long ago. When we hit Scripture memory, he almost panicked. And he told me, he said, I just don't remember things well. He said, this is one of the things, he said, I've been scared to death to get to this lesson. And I sat down, I shared this verse with Jim, and I said, Jim, it really doesn't matter at this stage whether you memorize two verses a week, one verse a week, or one verse every 3 weeks. The thing that matters is that you memorize God's Word and you get some victory in it. And I remember it took Jim a couple of weeks to get that first verse down word perfect. And he struggled with it, and he fought with it, and I encouraged him all I could because I didn't want him to quit. Now, Jim has an unusual situation because he works a job where he's gone for 60 days and back for 60 days. And shortly after that, he left for his 60 days out at sea. And I, you know, just had to say I pray that the Lord will help him be successful because I could have no contact with him while he's out on the ship. He came back with a big old grin on his face, and he had about six or seven verses memorized. And he is convinced now that he can memorize Scripture. You know, it's wonderful to see someone win a victory like that. And even if you don't have that trouble, you need to know how to encourage a person, because as you challenge people to memorize Scripture, you'll find people that really struggle with memory work. And they can do it with God's help. Number two, I forget what I memorize. Well, I hope that we've already answered that one. Review is the key to long-term memory. Number three, it's not for everybody. And a lot of people want to cop out on this one. I hope with the 17 reasons we covered at the start of this class that you're convinced, even if some of your friends aren't, that it is too for everybody. As I study Scripture, see, I finally came to the conclusion that I might as well commit myself to a lifetime of memorizing Scripture, because that's better than being disobedient. And I can't see that God ever gave me an out. Now, the Scripture nowhere said that you have to do X verses a week. I can't find that stuff. Or that you have to use this system or that system. But it did tell me that I was to learn God's Word, that I was to impress it on my heart, on my life, that my life was to be saturated with His thoughts. And somehow I have this funny feeling that no matter how aggressively I go after Scripture memory, I'm probably still a little short of what God really is desiring for my life, which is a total saturation of my being, my thoughts, with His Word and His truth. Number four, I don't have time. Psalms 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. You have time for what's important in your life. I tell you what, the two men that have been most influential in my life in teaching me Scripture memory, I'll put their schedule against anybody's schedule I ever met in my life. Anybody. Now, I put my own schedule against most people's. But you see, it's not time that's the issue, it's priority. You see, I have memorized Scripture, as I told you now, this time around, on a steady plan for 6 years. I spend a lot more time now than I did 6 years ago on Scripture memory, because I got a lot more verses to review. Do you know what? I can't tell you what dropped out the other end. Now, I'm obviously not doing everything I was doing 6 years ago, but I can't tell you what dropped out the other end. And let me just add this as a little plus, okay? One of the real issues in living a successful Christian life is priorities, God's priorities. You see, so often we get so busy and so crowded with the urgent that is demanding our time and our attention and our energy. And when you finally realize that the minnows are eating you alive, and you clear off the table and say, now wait a minute, there are some non-negotiables in my life, and I'm going to give my life to these no matter what, and you set them down as a priority, you put them in your schedule, and you start doing them, almost inevitably the things that fall out the other end fall out unnoticed. Because we've all got that much junk in our life. And you do have time to memorize Scripture if you want to. You know, the interesting thing to me is after 6 years, I'm still doing the majority of my Scripture memory and my review in chunks of time I was wasting before. Driving, sitting at a red light, waiting in the doctor's office, waiting in line. There's all kinds of times stacked through the week that you can use. Lastly, let me give you some hints for lifetime success. Now, some of these I've covered before, and this is not an oversight. They're in your handout again because they're critical for success and they're worth repeating. One is accountability. Always have a Scripture memory partner. If you're serious about Scripture memory, and you notice there I say a Scripture memory prayer partner. One of the richest experiences in your life will be if you make your Scripture memory partner your prayer partner, and that when you meet weekly to review verses, you also share prayer requests and pray for each other weekly. It'll be one of the most enriching times in your life. Number two, review. I hope I've hit that hard enough. Number three, make use of idle times. Scripture memory is one of those things that can be fit into some of those 1 and 2 and 3 minute increments of time that it's hard to find anything else worthwhile to do. Number four, don't try to re-memorize a verse in a new version. And James, you mentioned something about this a little earlier. I find from time to time I'll start to learn a verse and it just won't go and it won't go, and most of the time when I go back and I look in my old King James Bible, I'll find that it's the old King James Version that I apparently knew and had forgotten I knew. You know, I couldn't call it up and quote reference first reference, but I knew it. And in a time like that, what I do is I go back to the old King James Version that I know, and I learn it word perfect, and I memorize that verse in King James. Now, I do all my memory work in New American Standard. Most people recommend that you pick a dominant translation that you do most of your memory in, because most translations have a rhythm and a cadence and a feel that is unique to that translation, and most people find it easier if they memorize the majority of their verses out of the same translation, and then when you find a verse that particularly speaks to you in another translation, you can switch around. Now, there are a few translations like Amplified. There's nothing else that sounds like Amplified. I found that I can successfully memorize a verse in about any other translation and also memorize an Amplified and not confuse the two. But by and large, you need to stick with one translation. Number five, always keep at least 2 new verses on cards ready to memorize. Now, this is assuming you've gone through your first 60, that you've got a pattern established, and that you're going for the long haul. I have found the times that my memory breaks down, my Scripture memory pattern, is when I get all the verses I have copied on cards learned and I run out of a new one. And then sometimes, because of my schedule, I'll go 2, 3, 4 days while I need to sit down and make a couple of new cards, and just don't seem to get it done. So what I found that I try to do is, as I usually, honestly, I keep 5 or 6 cards at a whack ready. And when I get down to 2 cards, I go through and I make some more. And I keep some cards ready all the time to learn. Number 6, keep a master list of verses memorized. I've only lost this little sucker one time. But because I had a master list, it took me some time. But I was able to go back and reconstruct the verses that I had lost and put them back in my system. And if you don't have a master list, now let me give, there's two ways you can keep a master list. One is just a handwritten list. When you memorize a verse, put the date in the verse you memorized. Another way is I have one Bible, this little New American Standard. This I call my Scripture Memory Bible. And anytime I make a verse card, I put a red square around that verse. And I also do a lot of my studying out of this Bible, because when I see those verses in red, it's just one more time that I can review them, and it helps keep them fresh. But I could pick up this Bible, and if I lost everything else, I could reconstruct every verse I know out of this Bible, because every verse I know is marked in this Bible. And if I learn a verse in a different translation, then right up at the side of the red square around the verse, if I learn it in King James, I put KJV. Or if I learn it in NIV, I put NIV. And that's a little clue to me that I know that verse, but I don't know it in this translation. Now, I think this is also an excellent way to keep a master list. Number 7, ask God for success in Scripture memory. Scripture memory is spiritual warfare. Satan will fight you anytime you take an aggressive move towards God in any area of your life, and most certainly in the areas of prayer and internalizing the Word of God in your heart. And you need to not take it for granted. You need to assume that Satan is going to sidetrack you. You need to assume that Satan is going to discourage you. You need to pray and ask God to give you success in Scripture memory. And don't just pray when you're struggling. I mean, when you're loving it, and when you're getting a lot out of it, and when you're enjoying it, and when you're glad you're doing it, ask God to protect you and to keep you successful for the long haul. Number 8, don't forget to meditate. I've tried to bring you back time and time again to this issue of meditating on Scripture. Let me give you 3 more that aren't on your handout. Number 9, keep a list of future memory verses. I've got one page that I keep in the book I keep my day timer and stuff in. And on that sheet, if I hear a verse that I want to know, I write the verse on that sheet. Then when I sit down to make new verse cards, I turn to that sheet and I look and see, okay, are there any verses here that I want to memorize at this time? If you're reading in your quiet time and you hit a verse and it really speaks to you, put it on your Scripture memory sheet. Number 10, rub shoulders with men and women who memorize. Rub shoulders with men and women who memorize. People that are committed to the same thing you're committed to will encourage you and move you along in the process. Number 11, keep a file of articles that encourage. I've got a little file folder called Scripture Memory, and if I find anything on the subject of Scripture Memory, bang, it goes in that file folder. And periodically, I pull out that file folder and go through it, because it is a way of encouraging myself to say, study at the task. Let me ask you, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask? We've got a few minutes left. Or comments you'd like to make about Scripture memory?
What's 11 again?
Number 11 was keep a file of articles that encourage you. Okay, let's end with this quote by Bob Seifert. Scripture memory is not an end in itself. Our goal should always be to become conformed to the image of Christ, and committing Bible passages to memory is only half the battle. The most important part comes as we meditate on the passages until they become part of our life, and then obey and apply what we've learned. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your word and for the power that it has in our life. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would set our faces like a flint for the long haul to know your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.